stars and translucent purple clouds. Gigantic golden letters encircle the globe. Universal. In light blue and white letters, Universal Pictures presents an Alphaville Renaissance production. Nighttime in Old Town, New Orleans. A bearded man stumbles down a narrow street in the rain. A horse-drawn carriage rolls past. Lightning flashes. A John Woo film. The man, Doug Binder, approaches closed doors.
Please.
From Doug's point of view, the streets are empty. Jean-Claude Van Damme. At a crossroads, a spinning metal crossbow bolt strikes the wall by Doug's head. Doug touches a thin cut on the side of his head. Across the road is a guy with a crossbow, Lapaki. Standing nearby is a sharp-featured 30-something guy called Pick Van Cleef, who stands between two bikers in helmets. More crossbow bolts are unleashed. In a flash of light blue letters, hard target. Doug runs straight down the middle of the street. The bikers give chase. Van Cleef looks around at his boss, Fouchon, who sits passively in a parked car nearby. Fouchon is in his 40s with a lined, leathery complexion. Bedraggled Doug staggers down the street. The bikers keep pace a few feet behind him. As the street opens out, Doug tries to climb a fence. The bikers knock him down. He staggers into some bins. He lurches to his feet and runs onwards. The bikers circle as he heads up a grassy bank overlooking a wide river. Skyscrapers rise up on the far side of the river. Doug scrambles down the bank and heads for a jetty in a boatyard. The helmeted bikers clear the bank at high speed. Some cars arrive in the boatyard. A biker circles Doug and kicks him to the ground. Fouchon pulls up in his convertible. Doug is kicked again. Lapaki stalks past the bonnet of Fouchon's convertible.
If he makes it to the river, he's won. We cannot allow that to happen, Mr. Lapaki.
Lapaki, who wears shooting shades, brings the crossbow to bear. He aims at helpless Doug. The bolt skewers Doug's shoulder and pins him to a tree. He yanks at the bolt, ducks a second one, and hits the ground. Doug gets up and heads for a wooden hut. Gunmen fire bullets around his feet. Van Cleef aims a grenade launcher. The wooden hut explodes in a bright orange fireball. Doug hits the ground just a few feet from the jetty. Van Cleef heads through the smoke. Lapaki aims his crossbow as Doug crawls to his feet. His clothes torn, Doug lumbers along the jetty. Lapaki fires. The bolt slams into Doug's back. Smoke billows around struggling Doug as he pushes himself back onto his feet and spots a tiny rowboat moored nearby. With the bolt still protruding from his back, he treads on a rotten board. He falls through the jetty but clings on with his arms. As he strains to pull himself back onto the jetty, Lapaki fires and the bolt cuts through Doug's chest. Doug lets go of the jetty and falls into the murky river. Still in his car, Fouchon sighs. He approaches Lapaki on foot.
Randy?
Van Cleef and the gunman retrieve Doug's body. Van Cleef cuts a money belt off Doug's waist.
It's like a drug, isn't it? To bring a man down.
As Lapaki swigs brandy, Van Cleef shuts dead Doug's eyes with the sole of his boot.
Was it worth it?
Every nickel.
Good.
The bolt protruding from Doug's chest has cut through a set of dog tags. Daytime, a stunning 20-something brunette, Natasha Binder, or Nat, drives a blue convertible along the bridge towards downtown New Orleans. She arrives in the old town, which is filled with smaller buildings made of clapboard. The streets are lined with trees and telegraph poles. Nat's car zooms past the townhouse with tall windows and a front porch. She stops and backs up, lowering her shades to stare at the house with haunted grey eyes. She gets out of the car and heads for the house. A senior woman answers.
Yes?
Hi, I'm looking for Douglas Bender.
You a friend of Mr. Bender's?
No, I'm his daughter.
Doug was a nice man. He had manners.
He didn't tell you where he was moving, did he?
He owed some rent, honey. I told him he could wait to pay me till he got back on his feet.
He wasn't an accident, was he?
Oh, no, he lost his job with the oil tool company. When Doug moved out, he left this box. Told me I could hold it till he could make up his back rent.
There are photos in the small wooden box.
Do you have any idea where he might be now?
You might try checking down at Our Lady of Charity.
Marina. Erika. I was in the service for a while myself.
Really? Do you know him?
Well, he comes here sometimes. Nice guy, too. If I see him, I'll tell him you look.
Do you happen to know where he lives?
I'm afraid your daddy, well, he was like the rest of us, out of doors, you know?
In the homeless shelter, Nat stares at the veteran in disbelief. At the Half Moon Utility restaurant, a striking 30-something man with a curly mullet haircut sits at the counter, idly dipping his spoon in some gumbo. The man, Chant Boudreaux, has soulful eyes and an unshaven face. He wears an earring and a long black coat.
How's that gumbo, Chance?
A tragedy. The coffee was tolerable, though.
It ain't free, neither.
Yeah, I know.
Leave your wallet in your tuxedo.
I played that one on you before?
Yeah, for the gumbo.
That's right.
The waitress smirks as he slides a few coins over the countertop. Nat arrives and heads across the busy restaurant floor towards a payphone mounted on the wall between windows. She checks in her wallet for coins. She looks annoyed and heads for the counter, where she stands near Chance and flicks through a fistful of banknotes. Chance watches as she hails the waitress.
Hi, do you have any change? Thank you.
Chance looks dubious as Nat heads back to the payphone. He clocks a couple of thugs at a table. Chance heads for the glass front door, then edges it with his foot. He eyes the thugs in the reflection on the glass, then heads out.
Hi, Marie.
Yes, I was wondering if my father came to pick up his mail yet.
He hasn't. No, that's fine. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Chance glances back as he crosses the road. The thugs follow Nat to her car. Two more ne'er-do-wells join them en route, then kick the car door shut as Nat opens it.
Hello, pretty lady.
Leave me the hell alone.
We'll take it. How about a little extra, honey?
They snatch her bag. She slaps a thug who slaps her back. Nat falls.
You having fun?
The thugs look round, confused, as Chance strolls across the road and frowns at them.
Why don't you do yourself a favor, boy?
I think the favor gonna be done for you.
Said, get lost.
Chance eyes the thug's flick knife.
Now take your big stick and your boyfriend and find a bus to catch.
Oh, this guy's funny.
Chance glowers at the snickering thug in mirror shades, then eyes the thug with the flick knife. He slowly sweeps the tail of his coat back. Chance unleashes two high kicks, knocking the thugs to the ground. Nat ducks in the driver's seat as a pipe-wielding thug jumps onto the bonnet of her car. Chance kicks his legs away, and the thug drops. Chance grabs a bottle off another thug and smashes it over the guy's head, then knocks him out on a metal bollard.
Come on! Let's go!
The thug ditches his mirror shades, then tries a roundhouse. Chance ducks into a low sweep and fells him. The knife thug swings his knife over Chance's head as Chance delivers a sneaky punch to the thug's ribs. Nat looks on wide-eyed as the knife thug misses a thrust and Chance kicks him through the restaurant window. Shade's thug's got a pipe. Chance breaks his arm. Chance casually wanders past the felled thugs and approaches Nat in her car.
You know, it's a shame. This used to be such a nice part of town.
He bends down and picks up Nat's handbag.
Next time, be more careful when you show your wallet.
He gives her the handbag. She takes it, looking wide-eyed with shock. With a concerned little frown, Chance turns around and heads off down the street. Sunlight glints off a car's windscreen as Chance passes by. A Stars and Stripes flag flutters in the breeze outside the police station in town. There's a demo, which includes placard-waving cops in uniform. Nat pulls up as a news crew arrives.
Sorry now, come on.
Well, the strike ends soon.
Nat heads through the demo towards the building. A sign reads, New Orleans Police, 3rd District. In the virtually empty main office, a pretty detective, Marie Mitchell, lights the single candle on a birthday cake, then prepares to blow it out.
Happy birthday to me. Excuse me.
Nat stands on the other side of Marie's desk. Marie wearily shuts the still-lit cake in her desk drawer.
Can I help you?
Yeah, I need to fill out a missing person report.
Look, I just pulled a double shift. Why don't you catch me tomorrow? Okay. Why don't you catch me now? What is the name of the missing individual?
Douglas Charles Benton.
Relationship of reporting party?
Daughter.
Okay, you got a picture?
Mm-hmm. Nat hands over a photo of herself as a kid with her dad in a fishing hat.
Got something a little more recent?
Oh, no, I don't. See, my parents were divorced 20 years ago.
You got an address?
I think my father was homeless. I didn't even know myself until I just came down here.
Look, I'm not sure what you want me to do here.
I want you to take my report.
Well, generally, in order to be considered missing, you need somewhere to be missing from.
Fine. Look, if you're too busy to do your job, detective, then I'll find somebody who isn't so busy.
Look, you want to find your father? Take my advice. Canvass the missions. Ask at the shelters. But, get somebody who knows the city to show you around, or I'll be filling out one of these on you.
Nat turns tail and heads off.
Hey, you're welcome.
Marie looks down, then opens the desk drawer and takes the cake out. She holds it up, shuts her eyes, and blows out the candle. It's a sunny day outside. The New Orleans skyline rises up on the far side of the river. Standing on the near side, Chance ties a knot in a rope in the dockyard. He squints as he looks out over the river. A gull flies across the city skyline. The dockyard is busy with milling workers. The shop steward comes out of a small wooden hut with a sign above it that reads, Maritime Seamen's Union.
All right, pipe down and listen up. We've got 12 positions this morning, able seamen or better. When I call your name, come into the office, show your papers, and you'll get your ship. Here we go, first man, Gumbus, Luigi, able seamen.
Right here.
Walker, Steven, second engineer.
Hi.
Leslie, Francis R.
They told me at the cafe that you might be down here.
Sealer, D.
I need to talk to you about something.
I don't think this is a good time, though.
Walters, Nichols D,
yeah.
Able Seaman.
How'd you, like to work for me? I'll pay you $100 a day.
For doing what?
For $100, does it really matter?
Actually, it does. Yeah, it does.
Look, I really need you to help me find someone.
Gil! Bill! Cook!
You know the city. You obviously can take care of yourself.
Boudreaux! C! Able Seaman!
I would like to help you, darling. Looks like I'm gonna be out of town.
Fakelman! Babs!
Way out of town.
Able Seaman!
Sorry.
Nat turns and walks away as Chance heads through the crowd and goes up to the shop steward.
Chance, I thought you got blackballed about that thing with Captain McDonald.
That was the big misunderstanding, you know.
Right. Broke his damn jaw is what I heard.
You make sure I said a big hello.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Johnson says I was reinstated.
With the company? Not with the union. You owe some dues here, boy. $217.
I'll pay that off on this cruise.
Nobody ships out if they're in arrears, you know that.
How am I gonna pay my dues if I can get the job?
I don't make the rules, mate. Look, your ride doesn't sail till the end of the week.
If I can get the money, then what?
Then I'll let you ship out.
I'll get the money.
The shop steward heads into his hut. Chance looks round and spots Nat driving out of the yard. She stops to let a forklift unload.
Get down. Bring it back. Yeah, bring it. Okay.
As the forklift lowers a panel of oil drums, Nat spots Chance standing just behind them. She removes her shades and purses her lips as he strides towards her.
So this guy you're looking for, he owes you money or something?
He's my father.
Okay, I changed my mind. I'll help you for 2 days. You'll pay me $217.
It's a deal. You can drive.
I don't have a driver's license, ma'am.
So, what's your name?
Chance Boudreaux. What's your name?
It's Nat.
Nat, your parents name you for a bug?
No, actually, it's short for Natasha.
Natasha?
What kind of a name is Chance?
Well, my mama took one.
Nat relaxes a bit and smiles.
So how did you lose your papa?
My parents, they got divorced when I was 7, and my father, well, he moved away.
A local tram heads in the opposite direction.
We started to ride, and he even called me a couple of times. 3 weeks ago, the letters just stopped.
They arrive outside a charity mission.
I've got a friend here who can help us. You check the line. I'll look around inside.
Chance heads through the mission's main courtyard, which is filled with homeless people quietly having something to eat. He spots the veteran Nat spoke to earlier.
Hey. You don't have a bottle of hot sauce on you, do you?
Elijah, what's happening?
It's Wednesday meatloaf. I mean, they said it was meatloaf. But I thought you were going to get a ship.
I lost my boarding pass.
Elijah spots Nat.
I've got something to show you.
You two know each other?
We met yesterday. Have you seen my father?
I saw the next best thing.
I was over at Plaza de Italia yesterday, and I saw this sleeping bag in a cart. It was a tiger stripe, like the kind they used to issue to recon guys. Your daddy had one just like it.
Thanks, Charlie.
You bet.
Under the arches in the unkempt mission outskirts, Elijah shows Nat a shopping trolley. The sleeping bag has D. Binder stamped on it. Nat tries to remove a suitcase. Elijah helps her. Chance helps her open it. Nat finds some of her letters carefully bound with string. She smiles. She reaches beneath some clothes and finds a frame with photos of her with her mum and dad. Nat looks around happily at Chance, who winks. Chance looks across at Elijah, who eyes the trolley impassively. Nat finds a bunch of pink flyers advertising sleazy phone lines with a picture of a naked woman.
Don't be offended. You passed them out for money.
Yeah, I've had to do it myself.
Here, Barrick Street. Both sides this time, Grandpa. Next, get it. Here, Decatur, lower half.
Chance jumps the queue in the hallway.
Well, if it ain't my good friend Boudreau. I thought you was gonna catch a ship.
Maybe I'll stick around to run for mayor.
We're looking for someone who worked for you. The man's name is Douglas Binder.
I never heard of him.
I think he know you.
Did he work for you, sir?
Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I'm not too good with names.
The burly Randall looks nervous as he searches for a light for his fat cigar. Chance strikes a match.
I have a photograph.
Chance blows out the match before Randall can light his cigar.
Mr. Poe trying to say he's not too good with faces. Right?
Van Cleef appears.
Hello, Randall. I didn't know you had company.
The glowering, shaven-headed Van Cleef leans in the doorway to the office and stares levelly at Chance, who shrugs his shoulders.
We're just leaving.
They leave the office and head across the road towards Nat's car.
You know, we should go back up there.
Not now, not together.
Poe knows something about my father, obviously. Look, if you don't want to go back up there, I'll just go back myself.
Hey, if you want to find your daddy, you're going to have to work smarter, not harder.
There's a guy in a suit by the car. He flashes a badge.
Sasha Binder?
What's the problem?
Binder, I'm afraid I have some bad news. They found your father's body.
Nat stares at the cop in disbelief. Later, she stands outside the morgue at the hospital with the same stunned look in her eyes. Marie leaves the morgue and clocks Chance. She glances round at Nat and takes a deep breath, then heads over towards her. She looks Nat in the eye.
I'm sorry. They made a positive ID.
How did it happen?
There was a fire last night in an abandoned building in the 9th Ward. The fire department discovered your father's body in one of the rooms.
I need to see.
Your daddy was burned pretty badly. The identification had to be made from dental charts in your father's service record.
She holds out a file, which Chance takes hold of. Nat wanders off with her head bowed.
What's your involvement here?
I was helping her find her daddy.
Randall lies asleep on top of his bed covers. The light comes on. Van Cleef stands over Randall, then karate chops his bulbous stomach.
Yeah! Wakey, wakey, you fat fuck!
Van Cleef throws Randall into the wall. Fouchon appears and paces the room as Randall crawls on his hands and knees. Van Cleef grabs some big scissors.
Oh, God! Mr. Fouchon, what are you doing here?
Don't talk, Randall. Listen.
Oh, don't worry about Randall. He's all ears.
When Mr. Van Cleef came upon your visitors yesterday, you neglected to tell him that they were inquiring about one of our volunteers.
That was nothing, Mr. Fouchon.
Oh, it was something, Randall.
The wiry Fouchon nods, and Van Cleef cuts off Randall's earlobe with the scissors. Van Cleef boots Randall across the room. Fouchon throws him against his desk. Blood pours from Randall's ear.
This man we hunted last night. Why don't you tell us his real name? Fuck.
Bender. Douglas Bender.
That's not the one we selected. Is it?
I couldn't get the guy you asked for. Look at you. You said you wanted a combat veteran. Why such a Bender? He has no medals.
He had a family. Now they're asking questions.
Please, I said I was sorry. I said I was sorry.
Careless is what you are, Randall. Careless and stupid, and now you're sorry too.
He said he was alone. I didn't know he had any relatives. I honest.
You made a mistake. Is that what you said? Huh? And I see you're anxious to make up for it, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
We've got another client, and he's about to select a new playmate.
Fouchon punches Randall, then chucks a wad of cash at him.
Next time, send us the one we asked for.
I will, Mr. Fouchon. I swear.
I think we understand each other.
Yes? No?
Yes. Yeah.
Randall, I come back here. I cut me a steak.
Van Cleef jabs the scissors into the doorframe as he leaves. In a quiet bar.
You did your best.
No, I came too late. I mean, Jesus, he was living out of a shopping cart. God damn it, why didn't he just tell me? Why didn't he ask for my help?
I've been there myself on the street. It's hard. It's hard to put your hand out.
I just kept thinking if I could just tell him that I loved him.
And because he loved you so much, he didn't want to pull you into it.
Daytime, in his well-appointed house, Fouchon reads a U.S. Marines file.
Our friend Mr. Boudreau. Mm-hmm. Silver Star. Marine Force Recon.
He joined the merchant service after he got out. His captain was smuggling opium. When Boudreau found out, he threw the man overboard. He's been looking for work ever since.
He's obviously not someone we should underestimate.
He was raised in the bayous by his uncle. I think Mr. Boudreau would make a very interesting quarry. Maybe I should pay him a visit.
No. Send a couple of lads down there to have a chat with him, won't you, Peck?
Yeah.
Standing in the doorway of a rundown apartment in the New Orleans back streets, Chance studies the photos of the burned building where Doug's body was discovered. Chance frowns at the charred remains of Doug's skeleton. Chance takes a plastic bag off the file. It contains one of Doug's dog tags. A white dove flaps past Chance and enters the apartment, where it hovers before settling on a balustrade. The dove is right above Chance's own dog tags, which hang from the balustrade.
Yeah.
Chance arrives at the burned-out building in the blazing sunshine. There's no one around as he loiters by the yellow police tape. He ducks under the tape, then hunkers down and feels around in the soot that completely covers the floor. Chance sifts through some more charred remnants with a small piece of wood. Chance finds the second tag from Doug's dog tags. He holds it up and clocks the hole that's been punched through the metal.
Bingo.
As Chance eyes the broken tag, someone appears behind him and drops a noose over his head. The noose is attached to a stick which one of Van Cleef's thugs yanks backwards. Another thug whacks Chance with a baseball bat. Chance kicks out, the thug smacks his leg with the bat and grins. Chance kicks him in the groin. Chance spins and kicks the thug holding the pole. He's smacked with the bat again.
Brilliant advice, Boudreaux! Get the fuck out of Dodge! Do it today! And tell that bitch girlfriend of yours to point her titties north and step on the gas!
The bearded thug kicks Chance in the head. A bloodied and bruised Chance is frog marched to Marie's desk.
It's always nice to see you.
You seem to have a real talent, Mr. Boudreaux, for attracting violence.
Does that make me a bad person? Look, why did you arrest me for getting beat up without a license?
Thank you for calling me. Oh my God, you look awful.
Darling, you're in my feelings.
What we have here is a charge sheet. Willfully crossing a police barrier, that's considered criminal trespassing.
Yes, that officer was nice enough to mention that to me.
What were you doing at the house?
The dog tag. You find it at fire? They always come in twos. So I went back to that place to look for the other one. Your daddy didn't die in the fire. He was murdered.
There's no evidence of that.
There is now. That hole in that tag was made by something sharp and hard. And I'll bet my rent money it was made when Bender was still wearing it.
Now, why would somebody go through all this trouble to kill a homeless man?
Do you believe us now?
Look, honey, the wheels turn slow around here.
Real slow.
But they do turn.
Chance cocks his head.
I'll order a new autopsy. This'll help.
Outside the police station, Chance and Nat get into Nat's car.
You should see a doctor.
I hate them doctors.
They smile warmly at each other, then drive away. At his grand plantation-style house in well-kept grounds, Fouchon passionately plays a grand piano. With a heavily bandaged ear, Randall is in his office. He switches the phone to his good ear.
What? Not now!
Elijah sits across from Randall.
So you and Nan?
Long time ago.
It seems to me a man with your obvious experience should be pulling down a lot more money.
You gonna pay me $100 to fill out a form?
No, I'll pay you a lot more than that if you got the experience.
What kind of experience?
Well, maybe you ain't interested.
No.
He grabs the cash.
I'll fill out the application.
Ain't got any family? Anybody to worry about, your friends, anything like that?
I got nobody.
Fouchon glowers intensely as he plays. Van Cleef wanders through the opulent house with a smart-looking businessman, Ishmael Zanan.
You'll deposit $500,000 in our account in a bank in the Cayman Islands. Do not refer to our agreement by telex or in conversations on the phone. You'll be provided with a guide, trackers, and the weapon of your choice. Naturally, we'll dispose of the body and provide you with an out-of-town airtight alibi. Don't worry, Mr. Zanan. All you have to do is point and shoot.
Van Cleef ushers Zanan into the piano room.
Mr. Zanan has made his selection. A black man named Roper. Used to be in special forces.
Excellent. I don't see any problem with your choice.
It has always been the privilege of the few to hunt the many. Soldiers, policemen, fighter pilots, Men who kill for the government do so with impunity. Now all we do is offer the same opportunity for private citizens such as yourself.
These opponents, they're volunteers?
More or less. The same government has made murder their sole preserve. They train our targets.
We pride ourselves in only hunting combat veterans. Men who have the necessary skills to make our hunts more interesting.
What about the police? I'm sure that they would be interested if they were to find out.
Dr. Morton here assists us with the formality of police autopsies.
It's no accident that we're in New Orleans. Last year, we conducted hunts in Rio de Janeiro at Carnival, Yugoslavia during the late unpleasantness. Oh, yeah. You see, there's always some unhappy little corner of the planet where we can ply our trade.
All right, Mr. Fouchon. You have a client.
Well, thank you for visiting, Mr. Zanon. Dr. Morton will show you the car.
My bank will arrange the transfer of funds within the hour.
Excellent.
When do we go out?
We'll contact you when the necessary arrangements have been made.
Zanon leaves with the shifty-looking grey-haired Dr. Morton. Chance arrives at a massage parlor in town. The receptionist beams.
Hans, what you doing here?
Secret mission.
Rub me, baby.
The receptionist points towards a room where Randall is in his vest, lying face down getting a massage from one of the girls. Chance quietly takes over and nods for the girl to go, which she does.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Hello, Paul.
What the fuck?
You miss me?
Oh, Christ, not again.
Looks like you're short an ear, so you better listen very carefully. Now.
Or
who sent those apes after me?
I don't know what you're talking about.
2 million people in this city. Who's gonna miss a fat slob like you, Paul?
Van Cleef. His name was Van Cleef.
Good boy. Where is he?
I don't know where he lives. And he ain't even American. Look, he'll kill me if I don't do what he says. Please, you gotta believe that.
Tell your boyfriend, Van Cleef. I'm gonna find out who killed Douglas Binder. If you understand me, just grunt. Again.
Chance holds Randall's head down against the massage bed. Dr. Morton is in a dimly lit operating theater in the morgue. He studies x-rays on a light box.
Did you get my memo? Binder. Douglas C. I want you to take another look at the post-mortem.
Morton turns round.
That memo contains evidence that might make Bender's death a homicide. Now you can act on it, Doctor, or you can file it. But if I have to get a court order for a formal inquest, I will.
As she leaves, Marie chucks the file down in anger. In the study at his stately house, the sickly Morton coughs as he throws a load of paper files into the open fire. Fouchon appears in the doorway behind him.
You should do something about that cough.
Don't you ever knock!
Morton jumps up and goes into the hallway. He scans around. The front door is shut and nothing has been disturbed. He returns to the study.
We have a problem. A big problem. They want me to redo the autopsy on Binder.
Fouchon fingers a sharp letter opener.
Who is it that's asking?
A detective named Mitchell. Binder's family's breathing down her neck.
Can we buy her?
No.
Fouchon drags some letters off the table. As he retrieves the opener, Morton lights a fag.
I guess we've overstayed our welcome. Tonight is our last hunt in New Orleans.
Morton looks round suspiciously. He glances at Fouchon, who shrugs.
Open it.
As Morton shuffles off, tugging on his fag, Fouchon wipes the opener with a hanky. Morton lumbers down the hallway towards the front door, then peers through the spy hole. On the other side, Van Cleef raises a silenced pistol and points it at the spy hole. The bullet shoots through Morton's eye. As he drops, Fouchon drops the opener. Van Cleef comes in and meets him in the hallway.
What a funny little man, eh?
A change of scenery is what we need, something less tropical. Rolling hills, castles. Eastern Europe, we can work there for years.
In the dead of night, Elijah arrives at a roundhouse in an abandoned train depot. He chews gum as he scans around, then frowns slightly as he spots Fouchon and Van Cleef approach from out of the shadows. Standing on the turning mechanism, Elijah has another look around. Fouchon heads up the track towards him.
Where's Poe?
Mr. Poe couldn't make it. He's got an ear infection.
Van Cleef wears a devilish grin.
Look, he said he'd have some work for me.
That may still be a possibility.
We got a little game we'd like you to play with us.
Fouchon takes a money belt from his coat.
This money belt has $10,000 in it. It's all yours if you want it. Every penny.
What do I have to do?
The rules of the game are very simple. All you have to do is get to the river. 10 miles through the city. You and the money belt make it to the river. You're $10,000 richer.
Bullshit.
Maybe you like being the object of pity, begging for quarters, sleeping in the rain, listening to a half an hour of fire and brimstone for a bowl of soup.
Man, fuck you.
You could change everything tonight. Think of what $10,000 could buy you. You could get new clothes, clean yourself up, look men in the eyes when you pass them on the street. This money could make you a man again, instead of the shadow of your former self.
Elijah has turned his back. His eyes rove in thought as Fouchon frowns behind him.
I get to the river, I get the cash.
Every nickel.
If I don't make it?
Oh, you're a sports fan, Roper. Figured it out.
Elijah stares anxiously as cars show up. Zanan climbs out looking hungry.
You've got a 5-minute head start. Don't waste it.
Fouchon sets the turntable spinning. Elijah frowns in disbelief as Zanan cocks his sighted rifle. Elijah grabs the money belt and ties it around his waist. Fouchon puts a hand on Zanan's rifle. Elijah sets off.
This is New Orleans, Mr. Zanan, not Beirut.
The bikers in crash helmets chase Elijah down a quiet street. He leaps onto the closed gates of the graveyard. He runs past tombstones and mausoleums. A car crashes through the gates. Elijah stops between tombstones. The car pulls up. Zanan gets out with the automatic rifle cradled in his arms. Fouchon and his team appear from cars parked behind him.
After you, sir. Mr. Zanan, take it off safe.
Elijah lopes out of the shadows, then ducks between tombstones as a biker rolls up behind him. Zanan stalks between the high gravestones that have lit candles in front of them. He chases Elijah through the maze of gravestones. Elijah runs out into the open. A biker rides over to him. Elijah sends spinning. The second biker arrives and kicks Elijah as he rides past. Zanan activates the laser sight on his gun. He fires, blowing the head off the statue of an angel. As Elijah flees, he's hit in the leg and drops. Fouchon wanders up behind Zanan.
Finish him.
I don't want him. He's wounded.
Finish him.
chances that I hit him. John, let's go, okay?
Listen, don't make me look bad in front of my dogs. You know why you're here? He paid us $500,000 to find out if you're alive or dead. Now finish him.
Finish! God, why didn't he go fishing?
Van Cleef peers around as Elijah gets back on his feet and makes off into the graveyard. Fouchon's team swarms between tombstones as Zanan strides around, holding his big rifle at the ready. Elijah leaps from a mausoleum and thumps Zanan, who falls. Elijah grabs the rifle and shoots Zanan point blank. He opens fire on Van Cleef and Fouchon, who duck for cover. Elijah drops the empty gun and bolts as Van Cleef fires back. Fouchon and co. approach the badly wounded Zanan.
Now you understand why we insist on payment up front. In. Set the dogs on him, won't you, Pick? I don't want to be out here all night.
Elijah arrives in town. He stops a car and collapses onto its bonnet.
Help me! Please!
The car drives off. Elijah spots some more people and smiles.
Help me! Hey, please! Help me! Help me!
Oh, good job!
Please! Please!
Watch yourself! Watch yourself!
Help me! Help me! Help me!
Elijah spots Fouchon's team in their vehicles at the end of the street.
Hey, come on! Come on, man! Hey, call the police! There's something!
What is helping?
Hey! Hey! Look. Hey, come on!
That
come
was
here! Oh, man, let me in! Come on! Hey, buddy! Hey! Come on!
Really?
Help me, man!
Come on, get up!
Hey! Hey, come on! Man.
Hey, man! I ain't got no change, man!
Wide-eyed and panic-stricken, Elijah glowers down the street. Van Cleef attaches a silencer to his gun. Elijah wears a look of despair and wearily turns to face Van Cleef, who fires from some distance, taking down Elijah and a few bystanders. Fouchon watches from beneath a pinched brow as Elijah twists and hits the cobblestone road. The beady-eyed villain smooths his hair back in the front seat of his car. Van Cleef heads up the now abandoned street and stands over the fallen body of Elijah. He hunkers down and takes out his knife, then cuts the money belt from Elijah's waist. The next day, there's a police cordon around Elijah's body, which is partially wrapped in a body bag. Chance kneels by Elijah and squeezes his shoulder. Chance looks up from the grey-looking corpse of his friend into the eyes of Marie, who's with Nat nearby. Marie glances down at the body. Coroners zip up the body bag. Chance heads over to Marie as the body's loaded into an ambulance.
He was passing out flyers for Randall Pope.
Let's pay him a visit.
Chance steps towards Nat, who gives him a kiss on the cheek, and looks sadly into his eyes. Randall scurries out of his boarded-up house with two suitcases. He waddles across the road and opens up the boot of his knackered old yellow car. Randall lobs his cases in the boot and shuts it, then scans around nervously on the pavement. There's no one about. Randall wears a light grey suit jacket with an open-neck white shirt. He still has a big bandage on his ear and there's the stub of a cigar between his lips. He gets into his car. He fumbles for his keys. Van Cleef smashes the driver's side window and points a shotgun at Randall's head.
Randall, Randall, Randall. You were gonna leave without saying goodbye?
Mama got sick in Biloxi.
I was going to call you, Mr. Van Cleef.
Of course you were, Randall. Of course you were. I know you didn't mean to hurt my feelings.
Van Cleef beams an evil smile as he presses the shotgun's trigger. Blood fountains onto the windscreen as shot breaks through the glass.
Ooh.
Van Cleef cocks the shotgun, releasing the spent shell. Marie drives a cop car round the corner and stops by Randall's car. Chance and Nat are in the back of the cop car. They spot Randall's body, surrounded by gore and shattered glass.
Looks like we missed the party.
As Nat opens the door and steps out the back, Marie spots Van Cleef approaching. She leaps out and pushes Nat to safety. Nat drops.
Get down!
Marie draws her gun. Van Cleef fires, hitting the door. Marie falls and returns fire. Chance spins for cover behind the cop car. Marie kills a second gunman. Van Cleef shoots the cop car's lights, which explode. A jeep full of Bouchon's gunmen rolls up.
Stay out!
Marie is hit. She falls into Chance's arms. He holds her, takes the gun, and fires. He hits Van Cleef's arm. Chance lays Marie by the curb. She shakes violently as Chance takes off his coat.
Go! Go! Go!
Van Cleef jumps in the jeep to flee. Chance drapes his coat over Marie, then reloads and leaps onto the boot of Randall's car, firing shots as the jeep passes by. He lands on the boot and swaps fire with Van Cleef and the shooter who got Marie. Chance hits the driver. The jeep swerves as a biker heads towards Chance, firing a machine gun. The biker falls and slides across the road, taking a hit as the bike gets jammed beneath Randall's car. Chance reloads. Nat cradles Marie as a second biker roars up the road and fires at Chance, who hurries behind the cop car and kicks out as the biker passes. He connects with the biker square in the helmet visor, and the biker drops off his bike, which cartwheels away down the street. Chance rushes over to the idling motorbike. He stops by Nat and Marie.
Let's go.
We can't just leave her here.
In the jeep.
Keep him in the quarters. Stay on his ass.
She's dead.
Nat gets on the bike behind Chance. She looks down sadly at Marie. As they set off through the old town, the jeep returns with another biker and some cars. The chase hits the open streets of downtown New Orleans. Chance rides beneath an overpass, narrowly avoiding being cut off by a carload of gunmen. The car stops and reverses. As they ride, Chance looks over his shoulder at Nat. A biker heads towards them.
We're up the bar!
Nat takes the handlebars. Chance aims a machine gun and rises up in his seat. Bystanders flee as the two bikes exchange fire. Chance scores a hit and the biker drops, skidding along the road. Chance takes the bars as the enemy bike explodes. He pulls a wheelie, storms through the blossoming explosion, and rams the rising rider, plowing him into a wall. Chance backs up and sets off for the road. He arrives by the rising camber, leading to the overpass, and spots an approaching car full of goons. With Nat still clinging on behind him, Chance rides up the overpass but finds roadworks blocking the way. He turns and wheelies, sliding Nat off the back onto her feet. She watches as Chance considers the bike's leaking fuel tank between his legs. He zeroes in on the fast-approaching enemy car and sets off on a path straight towards them. Gunmen lean from the car and open fire. Chance kneels up on the motorbike's saddle and draws a pistol. Chance fires at the approaching car and kills one of the gunmen. Chance rises to a full stand and keeps firing. The bike plows headlong into the car. Chance somersaults over the car. He lands on the road, spins around and pulls out his gun, then grimaces as he fires off shots at the careening enemy car. The car and bike go up in a spectacular billowing explosion. Fuchon drives his convertible through the smoke. With Fuchon encroaching from one direction and two jeeps full of henchmen converging from the other, Chance runs for cover and dives along the overpass as Fuchon fires his massive handgun. Chance races towards Nat. A train passes below. Fuchon frowns angrily as he stalks up the road on foot and reloads his gun. Chance and Nat climb over the concrete siding of the overpass.
Ladies first.
What?
They leap onto the passing train. Fuchon's henchmen arrive behind Fuchon as he aims his gun at the fast-escaping couple. He lowers the custom-made handgun as his target disappears. He unloads the bullet and stows it in his belt, then turns to Van Cleef with a rueful smile.
It appears we'll have one last hunt after all, Pick.
Daytime, a helicopter hovers over a wide river in the New Orleans Bayou. A freight train rumbles along a track. The helicopter lands by a raised section of train track where Fuchon and Van Cleef are loitering with some of their henchmen. Van Cleef kneels by the sodden riverbank and spots some tracks in the mud.
The train went by maybe two and a half hours ago.
This could be dangerous. We're on his turf now.
Thank you, gentlemen, for making yourselves available on such short notice. We are stalking an exceptional opponent. Truly a world-class trophy. The price for participating in this little excursion is $750,000 each. Should one of you be lucky enough to bring him down, I'll consider that hunter's account paid in full.
The hunters are past clients of Fuchon's. In the woods...
Shouldn't we be worried about alligators or something?
If it make you feel better. Yeah.
Fuchon's team sets off from a clearing under a thick canopy of trees.
Come on, keep going. It's still a long way to Uncle Duvet's place.
Well, at least they won't be able to find us out here.
Yes, they will. If they have a tracker as good as Uncle Duvet, all they have to do is to check on the railroad. I'm just guessing we have a couple of hours.
Okay.
Maybe less. Come on. Let's go.
Fuchon stalks beneath the tree canopy, which is pierced by shards of sunlight. The team hurries along behind him. Up ahead...
Isn't there a trail or something?
This is the trail.
You're really enjoying yourself, aren't you, Chance?
If it's tough for us, it's tough for them.
He stands before Nat, his eyes flicker. He looks at her.
You trust me?
Of course I trust you.
Close your eyes.
Why do you want me to trust you with my eyes closed?
Close your eyes.
She looks up into Chance's eyes and smiles at him. She shuts her eyes and sighs. A vicious-looking snake rises up over her shoulder. Chance grabs it by the neck. Nat's eyes suddenly widen as Chance drags the snake off the tree behind her and slaps it on top of its head. He punches the snake, which wilts.
Is it dead?
Not hardly.
He bites off the stunned snake's tail rattle.
What are you doing?
I'm leaving a surprise for my friends.
He carries the snake back over to the tree. Later, Fushon and the hunters head through the same stretch of woods. A guy in a baseball cap steps on a sinewy branch laid across the ground. Ah! The snake lurches down from the tree and sinks its fangs into the hunter's face.
Son of a bitch!
Van Cleef heads over to the writhing hunter and yanks the snake off his face. As he holds it up, the snake bares its bloody fangs. Van Cleef looks over at Fushon, who looks extremely annoyed. Fushon shoots the snake's head off, then angrily stamps on the convulsing hunter's chest till he dies.
If you would die quieter and pick up the pace, Boudreaux would have less time for these little surprises. Jerome! Would you be so kind?
And do watch your step, won't you? Let's go!
In a clearing, a white-haired old-timer scuttles across the grass outside his house towards a table filled with bottles, jugs, and pipes. The bearded gent, who wears tinted specs and a brown woolly hat, turns a tap on one of the bottles. He fills an empty jam jar with clear liquid and theatrically takes a sip.
Wee! Ha ha! Sometime I made myself be! Ha ha! Good whiskey, McJack. Rabbit slapped a bear.
The gent grabs a shotgun.
Let's get to.
Chance appears from the trees. The old gent puts down his shotgun.
Chance!
Yeah!
Chance! Tu n'as pas changé, Chance!
Toi non plus, Duvet!
Chance! You come to see your Uncle Duvet!
Qu'est-ce que c'est
ça? Natasha, my Uncle Duvet.
Mademoiselle, we'll fix him up good. Put bandage on it, no hurt. Be strong, my boy.
Duvet, I've got some people after me.
I know. I can smell them.
You've still got a 30-06, the one I gave you for your birthday?
No, a Gatorade. But, I still got your shotgun.
Indoors now, Duvet steps away and reaches up into a recess. He brings down a dusty-looking single barrel and cocks it. Chance stands up. Duvet throws him the gun. Chance admires the metal weapon, which glints in the sunlight shining through the window. He purses his lips and blows the dust away. Holding the gun to the window, Chance looks around at Nat. Duvet throws Chance a box of shells.
So tell me, these men were chased after you. He mad at you for business or pleasure?
Both.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna take Alvarez south, then to Bayou Lafourche, Mardi Gras graveyard.
Can talk her into it.
Go ahead. You be careful.
Chance hugs his uncle tightly, then they let go.
Don't worry about me. I love the company.
Duvet heads off. Chance hugs Nat.
Be careful. Without you, I'm hunting them.
Nat pats his chest. Chance leaps up into the saddle on Elvira the horse. Duvet passes him the shotgun. Chance looks round at Nat, then back at Duvet. He rides off through the clearing around Duvet's house. Nat and Duvet watch him go.
He's gonna be all right.
We come. We go.
The hunters jog through the long grass in a pack. They arrive outside Duvet's house. One of the team heads up onto the porch and kicks the door open. He fires off rounds, knocking wooden boards out of the house walls. In the trees nearby, Nat watches alongside Duvet, who has a quiver of arrows on his back. A convoy of bikers and jeeps roll up behind Fouchon. Still concealed with two horses, Duvet swigs from a hip flask, then offers it to Nat.
Here, drink. But do not spill. It killed the grass.
The place is clean. He just left.
As Fouchon paces, Duvet pulls the string back on his primitive-looking bow.
Mon petit fou putain!
He fires, the arrow narrowly missing Fouchon and hitting the alcohol table, sparking a fire which engulfs a nearby hunter in a fireball. A fuse ignites off the table, more explosions consume nearby thugs and hunters. The fuse races for a bucket full of dynamite. A disgusted-looking Fouchon takes aim at one of his burning men. He kills the man with one shot. Van Cleef looks around suspiciously.
Get the fuck down!
Fouchon's team run away from the main house as it explodes in a shower of smoke and debris. Nat and Duvet ride out from the trees on horseback. Duvet charges off. A hunter in a Stetson fires a grenade launcher. Duvet holds his bow aloft as a hut explodes behind him.
Hey! Hold it! Boudreau is the target we're after. You are a fucking buffalo. Move!
He was referring to the Stetson-wearing hunter. As the team regroup by the burning house, Van Cleef kneels and feels the grass with his hand. He looks up.
Boudreau went this way maybe 10-15 minutes ago. He's on a horse.
He's trying to lead us away from his friends.
He kicks over a gormless henchman.
Get in the fucking truck! Move! Fucking move! Will you move? Move!
They're fucking brain dead. Get the helicopter, find Boudreau. We'll set up an ambush this side of Bayou Lafourche.
I can take him from the air.
Any pinhead can take him from the air. I want to take him from the ground.
I can take him from the air.
Be a professional pick.
Hey, you making a mistake.
Make sure he gets there, pick.
A landscape of dry brown tree canopy stretches for miles. Amongst the trees, Chance is on horseback. He gallops Elvira along a track. The chopper hovers above the tree line. Van Cleef spots Chance below them and points. Chance rides Elvira along the tree-covered riverbank. Van Cleef cocks his rifle as the chopper overtakes Chance, then rises above the trees in front of him. Van Cleef takes aim. Chance turns and the chopper banks. Hunters open fire from the main hatch in the chopper. Bullets ricochet around Chance. Van Cleef signals the pilot to turn. The chopper chases Chance along the riverbank. Chance hits a hunter with a shotgun blast. The hunter's knocked backwards. Chance fires again. The same hunter is hit and falls from the hatch. Van Cleef takes aim with his rifle-mounted grenade launcher. The explosions fell Elvira. Van Cleef smiles. Grounded, Chance grabs his shotgun. He sprints off down a trail through the trees. The chopper lands in a clearing as the ground convoy regroups. Chance sprints across open ground. He heads for a group of rusty-looking buildings nestled together in a concrete clearing. Fouchon's bikers are hot on his heels. Chance outruns the two bikers. Bullets ricochet off huge metal cogs and rusting machinery as Chance nips into a warehouse, scattering two pigeons as he goes. The bikers follow him in. Chance leaps over machinery in the warehouse. Sparks fly as bullets ricochet. A pigeon flaps across the warehouse. More bikers arrive, followed by Fouchon in a jeep. The bikers pull up outside the warehouse and dramatically cock their machine guns. The remaining hunters take weapons from a vast stockpile in the boot of the jeep. Inside the warehouse, the two bikers search for Chance, who hides behind a pillar and loads his shotgun. One of the bikers stops by a big puddle and removes his goggles. He scans around. Outside, Fouchon and his tooled-up army head for the warehouse. Inside, a pigeon excretes on the scanning biker's helmet. He fires up at the roof. The biker looks up as feathers fall. He doesn't notice Chance standing right in front of him.
Hey, pigeon!
Chance kicks an oar drum at the biker, then shoots it with his shotgun. The drum explodes in the biker's face. The bike and its barbecued rider crash through a window and land at the feet of the startled Fouchon and co. Inside, Chance catches, then cocks his shotgun with one hand. In the woods.
Sheriff, the Bible says to 2 miles this way.
You go to the telephone. Call the sheriff.
You know, Sheriff, I think you should call the sheriff.
Nat rides off. Fouchon approaches the burning wreckage outside the warehouse.
It appears your trophy is ripping us a new orifice.
Let me review the tactical situation for you, gentlemen. Boudreaux is wounded. He's been pursued and harried across miles of open country. Now he's cornered and outnumbered 20-1. He's an annoying little fucking insect and I want him stepped on hard. You're not angry with me, are you, Pick?
I don't get angry. I'm a professional.
Van Cleef leads the way into the warehouse. Chance dashes away. The hunters swarm into the damp warehouse. The hunter Jerome fires a grenade. Chance dives away, then rises and fires back, hitting a rider. Chance snips off through a hole made in the wall by the grenade.
Let's move!
The hunters follow Chance through the hole and enter a vast smoky hangar-sized building. A carnival float with an enormous smiling face is revealed as the smoke lifts. Fouchon's team file under the gigantic face which hangs from the ceiling. They enter the hangar proper and find it filled with Mardi Gras floats featuring grotesque faces with huge teeth and giant merry-go-round style horses. The gunmen and hunters move stealthily over and around the floats. Fouchon and Van Cleef stride through the Mardi Gras graveyard. The hunter stands still and looks baffled. Chance is on a walkway. He glances at the pigeon on his shoulder.
This is not good. If we walk away now, we can be in Mexico in 5 hours.
What the fuck is the matter with you, Pick? Hunting drunks in alleys made you soft.
Chance operates a chain, dropping a crane-shaped float from the ceiling. Chance is on top of the slowly descending bird. He opens fire with his shotgun. Van Cleef looks round wide-eyed. He spots Chance on the lowering crane. Fouchon grimaces as his coat catches fire. Explosions blossom all around. Chance guns down on Russian gunmen as Fouchon angrily shrugs off his flaming coat.
God, none of them! Bitch is good! God damn it, I'm gonna blow it! God damn it, you! What are you looking at, you sons of bitches? This is what you paid for! Get him!
Fouchon shoves Lopaki towards Chance. A thug lobs a grenade. Chance is catapulted across the room. He lands on his feet and runs off.
Seal this place. The son of a bitch is dying.
Duvet and Nat ride up outside. They dismount. Chance kicks, then rifle butts a biker and ups the stuntman's chin, catching sight of an encroaching hunter in the biker's visor. Chance grabs the biker's gun and spins round, firing the weapon upside down. The muscular, cigar-chomping hunter is hit several times. Chance steps forward and leaps into a spinning kick that downs his giant opponent, knocking the cigar from his lips. Chance kneels and takes a fresh clip from the hunter, whose patterned shirt is bloodied.
Sorry about the shirt.
Now what do you want to do?
Now we put arrow into everyone who's not Chess, huh? Come.
A thug spots them enter. The thug runs out of ammo. He spots Duvet aiming his bow and ducks behind a float. Duvet adjusts and fires. The arrow goes right through the float and skewers the startled thug's neck. Two gunmen pop up and open fire. Nat scarpers. She ducks down in a passage between floats. She grabs a gun from the thug Duvet killed. The gunman who killed Marie confronts her.
You fucking bitch!
She shoots him in the crotch. Duvet reaches out to a shell-shocked Nat.
Now look what you do. Give me this gun. I take care of all this bad guy. Give me this gun!
She lets go and staggers off. In the Mardi Gras graveyard, Chance swings across the main hangar on a rope. He kills Stetson Hunter with a single shot to the heart. Chance lands. Lopaki fires a trademark spinning crossbow bolt. Chance evades the bolt. Duvet fires an arrow into Lopaki. A thug shoots Duvet's leg.
Dad!
Nat throws Chance a gun. He catches it. Chance shoots, then kicks a thug. He kicks Lopaki in the face. He shoots Lopaki several times, then grabs a couple of fresh ammo clips and joins Nat as she helps Duvet to sit up.
I told you to go for help.
But we help. We're here to help. All these men try to kill you. We're here to help.
Chance spots Van Cleef through the smoke. A gunman runs along a high walkway. As Chance rushes for cover, gunmen open fire all round. Sparks fly as floats explode. Chance uses his back to roll a cabinet across the floor. He uses it for cover as he shoots thugs at various angles. Fouchon spots him diving for an office and opens fire. The single bullet hits an oil drum, which rockets into the air. Chance shoots a biker up some stairs. The biker rolls down them. Van Cleef fires as Chance heads through an office. The two men end up back to back on either side of a thin wall.
Woodrow.
They both reload.
I've been looking all over for you.
You've been looking in the wrong places.
That's good.
because I know you wouldn't want to hurt my feelings.
They both step out to open fire through the wide office windows and duck for cover, somehow managing to avoid all the bullets as glass and smoke fills the air. Chance stands and guns down a thug and a hunter as they stalk through the office. The hunter spills a grenade as he dies. Van Cleef dives for cover as Chance fires two handguns. Chance turns as a thug tries to rush him from behind. Chance kicks, then shoots the thug. Van Cleef lobs a grenade through the office window as Chance leaps out through it. The massive explosion sends Chance sliding beneath a table. He fires at Van Cleef from point blank on the floor. Van Cleef's hit a dozen times. He staggers backwards, then falls forward with an amazed Gorp on his vulture-like face. From the ground, Chance holds him still with his foot. As Van Cleef shudders and dies, a grenade rolls out of his hand into Chance's. Chance kicks Van Cleef's body loose. Nat is with Duvet, who's still on the floor.
Can you get up?
I cannot dance, but I can get up.
By a float depicting crashing ocean waves, Fouchon finds Van Cleef's dead body. He reaches down and lifts Van Cleef by his ammo bandolier. Fouchon closes the dead man's eyes. He lowers his friend's body back to the ground. Fouchon throws his head back and grimaces. Chance takes off his shirt, revealing muscular arms. He wraps the grenade in his shirt. He wallops a passing thug with the grenade, then grabs the thug's shotgun and guns him down. Fouchon hears the shot. He fires on Chance, who dives to the ground and returns fire. Chance rolls and fires again. Fouchon takes aim and fires back, destroying a float in a shower of sparks. Chance is thrown backwards. He stands up and returns fire, then nips off as Fouchon fires again. Flames consume the floats by the office. Fouchon winces as he loads his handgun. An angry Fouchon rushes towards the fire.
Hey! You lucky son of a bitch! You want some more of that?
Yeah! How does it feel to be behind that?
You tell me!
You should know better!
Come on, you son of a bitch! Take your best shot!
Chance somersaults over flaming barrels, then lands and fires a shotgun blast, flinging Fouchon backwards. Chance cocks his gun as Fouchon gets up and stumbles into the office.
Chance!
Chance!
My boy! Fouchon lurches from the office, surprising Duvet and stabbing him with an arrow. Fouchon drags Nat into the open, winding her long hair around an arrow.
Just shoot him, Chance! Please!
If he shoots me, he'll kill you. He's picked the wrong tool for the job.
Chance cradles his shotgun as Fouchon holds the arrowhead to Nat's chin.
Put the weapon down. Or I'll run us...
As Fouchon jabs Nat's chin with the arrow, Chance unloads the shotgun and lowers it gently to the floor. As Chance stands back up, Fouchon doesn't spot the small round grenade that Chance holds in the palm of his hand. Flames flicker all around them, in the office behind Fouchon and amongst the carnival floats around Chance.
You see, Miss Bender, you I can understand. It was a matter of family. You had nothing in common with those people. What made you want to complicate my life like this?
Poor people get bored too.
Oh!
He opens up his long-barreled handgun.
Load me.
A shaky Nat looks anxiously at Chance, who nods slowly. She reaches down and takes a big bullet from Fouchon's belt. Fouchon smirks at Chance. As Nat drops the bullet into the gun barrel, Chance dashes towards Fouchon, who flings Nat out of the way and cocks his gun. His face and hand bleeding profusely, Fouchon starts to raise his gun as Chance leaps into the air. Chance leaps with both feet and lands a kick on Fouchon as he fires, missing his target. Fouchon kicks a flaming barrel at Chance, who dives over it and hits the ground in a forward roll. Fouchon grabs a flaming plank of wood and bashes Chance. He lands more hits, then Chance ducks and spin kicks Fouchon to the head. Fouchon stands stunned. Chance lands another high kick to the face, then a second that fells Fouchon. The black-clad Fouchon stands and swings the burning plank of wood. Chance grabs it. Chance grips the burning wood tightly. The flame should be burning his hand, but he stares intensely into Fouchon's glowering eyes and shows no pain. Flashes of the murders committed by Fouchon and his men, Doug, Elijah and Marie, then stabbing Duvet. Chance kicks out. Chance kicks Fouchon backwards, then lands a punch while gripping the grenade. A dazed-looking Fouchon tries an ineffective block, then Chance punches his face and unclips the grenade. Fouchon watches the pin spin away.
Hunting season is over.
He drops the grenade down the front of Fouchon's trousers. Chance headbutts Fouchon back into a pile of rubbish. Fouchon frantically searches in his pants and pulls out the grenade. He untwists the fuse and beams maniacally at Chance and Nat as they dive for cover. The fuse ignites anyway, and a massive explosion exterminates Fouchon. Chance and Nat are thrown on top of Duvet, who lies on his back on the ground.
Duvet! Duvet!
What is this noise?
Oh my god.
He sits up.
What? I think I hurt pretty bad.
Duvet finds a bullet hole in his hip flask.
Now this real catastrophe.
This real bad.
Yeah, real bad.
ITFC audio description by Alex Newman.